Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
49 for an overnight low this week, Sue. How about that? That's like the temperature of our studio on a regular basis, right?
Yes.
We're used to that. We'll kind of be used to that.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know what's going on because I haven't pulled my blankie out here in the last couple of days. It does appear to be just a little warmer.
Yeah.
I have a thermometer in here for those people who, which is most of you, don't care. Sue and I battle the frozen Arctic of our studio on a regular basis, right?
It's really bad. But I made it for 2 hours before I got out the blankie
today.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. I've got the John Fetterman hoodie on, so I kind of just go with that. Cassie Smedley coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Jay Jones situation out in Virginia. I will have an audio cut of the day as well. I'm trying to see if Fred's got nothing booked for tomorrow. Fred has not been doing his job because I have nothing on my sheet for tomorrow, so you better get on that. Right now, we have John Ziegler, the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. How are you, Mr. Ziegler? Good to have you back
always
on.
Always great talking to you, Mark.
I got a bunch of topics for you, but I'm very curious. I'm extremely excited about the Barry Weiss Paramount deal, and I predicted in the last hour that you might say, Mark, don't get your hopes up, but there is an opportunity here, right? I don't know, because I don't know everything you might say about this, but there's a real opportunity here in changing at least part of the legacy media landscape. So what are your hopes for Barry and CBS?
Well, I understand why you have that optimistic view. I think part of this equation is not yet known, and that is Paramount going to buy Warner Brothers, which would mean, in theory, that Barry Weiss would also have control over CNN, and there would be a merger between CBS and CNN. If that happens, I think we're cooking with oil.
Yeah.
I've been told that there's a very reliably by someone on the inside that there's a very good chance that's going to happen. However, I was also told that we would probably know something by now. So, you know, these kinds of things can change on a whim. I find the Barry Weiss thing fascinating on numerous levels. The first is just purely from a financial perspective. I have no idea how in this environment she was able to sell the Free Press for as much money as she did.
$150 million.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's an absurd valuation. This is the biggest media boondoggle since what Dave Portnoy pulled off with Barstool. I don't think it's based in reality. I think it's based in the fact that the head of Paramount just really wanted her to be part of the fold and to be in charge. And so she had the leverage. You know, one of the other parts of this equation I find hilarious is, I don't know if you've seen this, Mark, but maybe you have. A lot of left-wing publications are referring to Barry as center-right politically.
I've seen that. Of course, that's ridiculous.
It's absurd
on
its face. I mean, her entire career has been as an unabashed liberal. She was an opinion writer for the New York Times, which ipso facto means you're a liberal. But the only thing that changed was that she was the only, or at least the first, liberal of her kind that didn't lose her mind over COVID. Or at first she did. She acknowledges that she did it first, but she eventually realized what the hell is going on here. In fact, I'll never forget watching Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. She was a panelist, and I even tweeted this. She was the first member of the liberal elite who actually said, "What the hell are we doing here?"
Yeah.
And that really, I think, was very impactful, not just to me, but to many other people. And I think she realized that the left had lost its mind, and that's why she kind of went on this anti-woke crusade, which is why I guess liberals consider her to be center-right. But she doesn't even believe in the Second Amendment, so she's not in no way, shape, or form center-right unless you're a complete left-wing lunatic. And so I think she was kind of perfect in some ways for the job, as long as the boss was willing to withstand any kind of criticism from the people at CBS who might get nervous that an outsider or a contrarian voice will be in charge now. So I like the pick. I'm surprised that it came to fruition, but I think the CNN piece of this equation is really key, because we're no longer living in a world where CBS News in and of itself really has all that much influence.
No, that's true. That, you know, we don't consume things the way we used to with those evening news broadcasts. Even, I don't even know what the numbers are currently of 60 Minutes. I think they still do very well, but it's not like it used to be. When she wrote her, you know, her piece in the Free Press about all this yesterday, you know, she kind of went back and forth on some of the things that caused her to go and to start the Free Press. But then she said, overlooked by all these so-called interlocutors are the, I don't know that word, it was a big word for me, are the enormous numbers of smart, politically mixed, pragmatic Americans, the people who believe unapologetically in the American project. And that kind of stood out to me, just because I feel like I live in a part of the country, you're out in the LA area, where there are still pragmatic Americans. And even if they are on the left, or if they lean a little bit to the left, or if they vote for Democrats, they're not insane like a lot of the people that we hear in the regular media. For example, John, I've always said, and I think to a certain extent, Fox might do this a little bit, but why wouldn't you have, when we had an era that we grew up in news bureaus across the world, why not have someone that's stationed here in the Midwest who can go up to Chicago and talk to real people, or down to Oklahoma or something like that? Now, that may be asking for too much when it comes to, you know, talking to real people, but we, you and I and other people, get so frustrated at the way that these stories are told on the national level just from one perspective. And that's where it's going to be difficult, because, look, all these young woke minds aren't going to be reshaped just by Barry Weiss walking in the door at CBS News.
Right. And to me, you know, obviously the right-wing media has talked for decades and decades, and I was a big part of this. It was a huge part of my career for a long time. We've talked about liberally biased media, and we were right about that. But Mark, I actually don't think liberal bias is the biggest issue now. I think the bigger issue is the groupthink bias, the fluff bias, the short attention span bias, the ratings bias. I mean, I think all of those biases are actually more influential in the news that we get today, especially in a world where Fox News Channel exists, where obviously talk radio, where the X is owned by Elon Musk, where a lot of social media and independent media platforms are very conservative in their foundation. I don't see the political bias being the biggest problem. I look at this a little bit differently, and one of the reasons why I'm glad that there's a Barry Weiss now in charge is the next time we have a moral panic like we did with COVID, at least one major media outlet is more likely to go, hey, wait a minute, let's look at this objectively and let's not succumb to groupthink, because that's exactly what happened during COVID, and we ended up paying 2 years of our lives for it.
But having said, and I agree with all that, by the way, and the COVID thing really jumps out. But you, having said that, it's undeniable, John, isn't it, that a lot of the stories that will come out of Washington. Look, I've seen a couple of things that have surprised me, like Kristen Welker on Meet the Press a couple of days ago. Pressed, I can't remember who it was, on some of the, you know, the government shutdown issues, which I was surprised by. So you're seeing remnants of people actually doing their job in the legacy media. But it was interesting to me, and you and I don't know if we've talked much since the Kimmel thing, but I was going back and forth in the aftermath of that because I couldn't help myself. I wanted to hear what CNN was saying about all this. And you could not have come up with, you know, two opposite narratives if you just went back and forth between Fox and CNN at like 6:15 on a given night 3 weeks ago. So I don't know if there's room in the middle for actual fair coverage of that because...
Mark, I'm not saying that deliberate bias doesn't exist or that it's not significant.
I know.
I'm just saying that among the list of things in this modern era that I'm concerned about, it's now no longer number one, especially when, you know, we have Donald Trump having been elected two of the last three presidential elections when he had everything thrown at him that was even remotely conceivable by the left-wing media, and it didn't work. I mean, so obviously their influence is not what it used to be. Now, you know, locally, I think they can still have influence. I'm very curious to see what happens here in California with this boondoggle that Governor Newsom is trying to pull with redistricting, because the media coverage here is pathetic. It's all very left-wing biased. And I think that may still have an impact in helping that thing pass barely here in November. So I do think in isolation it still matters. I just think we're living in a slightly different world than we used to be.
Any thoughts on the government shutdown and how this is all going to end?
Well, this is the first government shutdown I can remember where it seems like Republicans have the upper hand on the narrative.
I think so too.
Which is odd, you know, but... You know, both sides have a tendency to overplay their hand, and you know, I don't know what good ends up really happening in the end, other than just bragging rights. I can't stand the whole shutdown narratives. It's happening, you know, happening once or twice a year now. It feels like Groundhog Day movie to me.
Yeah, maybe three times a year. It's exhausting. It really is, going back and forth. I have to get into this sports issue with you because this came up today. I saw it on your feed. I want to play this cut from John Rothstein. So I'm a huge, as you know, college sports guy, football and basketball. My Mizzou Tigers are looking pretty good here for the next couple of years. But they've talked about this, and apparently now they're getting serious about expanding the NCAA tournament again to 76 teams.
I quote Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. When Gina Davis was leaving with Bill Pullman and they were driving back to Oregon because they wanted to start a family, and she left her team as they were getting ready for the World Series. And she said, it just got too hard. And Tom Hanks looks in the camera and says, it's supposed to be hard. The hard is what makes it great. The same should be said about making the NCAA tournament. This is not a participation trophy. It is the greatest event we have in sports. And now... all the coaches, all the people who have been pro-expansion, more kids deserve the opportunity to experience the postseason. This much I'll tell you. All those coaches that have been clamoring for years for more bids, you better make this NCAA tournament. Because if you don't make a 76-team NCAA tournament, the level of job security that these coaches are going to have who missed the bracket if they're 76 is going to go down, down, down.
Yeah, he's right about that. And I'm sorry, John, because that's a longer bite, and I didn't want you to sit on hold. I know you've heard it because you posted it, but I think you agree with Mr. Rothstein there that this is another step in the wrong direction for NCAA sports.
I could talk for an hour about what he said.
Yeah.
I agree with all of it, including, you know, being hard is actually good. You know, not to change the subject, but it's certainly related. Did you happen to see what happened on College Game Day with the Pat McAfee field goal this past weekend?
No, and I usually do watch that, but I did not see it.
Okay, well, real quick. So an African-American obese woman was somehow chosen to kick the field goal. She couldn't even kick the ball in the air. And so they decided to let Kirk Herbstreit throw the ball through the goalposts for her, and she won $300,000 because of that. She couldn't even react because she knew it was all BS. There was no joy in it. Usually when people win $300,000, they go bananas. It was such an obviously ridiculous thing that it was a DEI situation.
Oh my gosh. Like, a kid actually hit one for $250 a couple weeks ago. It's a fun segment for people who don't know.
Right.
I guess Pat McAfee claims that he's putting his own money down. If you hit this field
goal,
you know, during College Game Day, they're going to pay you out. And there's plenty of opportunities where kids, they shank it, and it's pretty embarrassing.
Right.
But I guess they felt sorry for her, so they gave her $300,000?
Well, and even her reaction was incredibly muted, Mark, because it's human nature to, even if you get hit $300,000, there's no achievement in it. And so it's, to use that analogy to the NCAA tournament, there's going to be teams that stink.
Oh, really bad.
That make the NCAA basketball tournament, which diminishes the accomplishment for everybody. And of course, the core problem is, it's all about money, and it's actually worse than being all about money and TV content. To me, the most insidious part of this market, it's about betting content. That's what this is. It's about creating 12 more games that bettors will feel comfortable betting on, because the NCAA regular season is such a load of crap, nobody feels confident betting on it. But if you call it the NCAA playoffs, they'll bet on it. That's where we are now, and it's absolutely insane. It's sad. It's pathetic. And unfortunately, it's almost certainly going to happen.
Hey, I heard LeBron James retired today. Is that true? You want to explain that one?
Well, yeah, he put out that cryptic message that he had decision to, and I tweeted when it turned out to be an ad that it might as well have been drink more Ovaltine in reference to the famous Christmas movie. Where the kid finally finds out that all that he's working on this whole time was actually an Ovaltine commercial. And you know, LeBron James is a fraud. And this was just another example of and proof that he is, in fact, a fraud. But the media keeps lapping it up because he can do no wrong, especially at ESPN.
Hey, the NFL's been pretty fun. I think this was a hell of a weekend. I know you put some of the highlights up there. That play last night in the Chiefs game, a 98-yard return. I mean, some of these games were just nuts. And that's why I love the NFL. I really
do. I understand why you like the NFL. They've figured out a formula where if you don't allow defense, scoring will increase, and statistically you're going to have a lot of games that are 30-30 or 40-40 that come down to the last possession. Right? Even though touchdowns have lost their meaning, like kind of like making the NCAA basketball tournament, touchdowns mean nothing now, but we get exciting finishes, and that's what the crowd loves. I do find it interesting that the Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor Swift appear to be running out of gas at exactly the same time. So I think that's interesting.
Oh, I think Tay-Tay's going to be fine, and I think the Chiefs, when they get Rashee Rice back, they're going to cook, and they'll be fine as well. They're not going to be like last year. One thing I saw, though, and I'm not sure I disagree with you on this, because it's becoming like just, you know, easy to kick an 80-yard field goal. I think, was it you or someone that you were retweeting said, maybe we need to look at narrowing the goalposts?
That was me. And I strongly believe this, that the entire sport has been altered, because when the sport began, when the sport began, no one anticipated a world where you could get the ball at the 35-yard line without a kick return, or maybe even the 40 if they kick it out of bounds, get one BS defensive penalty, and be
in field goal range. Yeah.
No, nobody anticipated that ever being a real-world possibility.
But see, what you said there about the kickoff rules is important, because that's what makes this even worse. Because it'd be one thing if you're on the 20, you got a couple of plays that get you into field goal range. But yeah, you could literally start on the 35 or 40, and that's just goofy to me. And like, God bless these kickers who have gotten so good, but it seems like you don't need more than 10 seconds on the clock to tie the game or to go into overtime or to win the game with a field goal.
Which causes another problem, which is that we're seeing more and more that the team that has the ball trying to go ahead in a game must not only get the ball into the end zone, they must also soak the clock as much as possible before they do so. It used to be if you scored a touchdown with 30 seconds left, or you won the game.
Yeah.
Now you got to get it down to 8 seconds or less before you're assured of actually winning the game. And to me, I mean, then you get the situation where teams are letting teams score touchdowns so they can get the ball back. I mean, this is not the way the sport was intended to be played.
I know, but I still love it. And I know that you're a little crabbier on the NFL. Zig,
I'm
always
way crazy. Crabbier on this.
I know.
Than you are.
Well, you're not wrong about everything on that, but great to hook up. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care, John. Thanks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I may get into this story a little bit tomorrow. I'm actually trying to get Lori Cohen on the air. This is a good example of some outstanding journalism, I think, at thefp.com, the free press, which, by the way, for those of you, you know, I think a lot of you out there hear us talking about these media outlets. And, you know, even when I might post something on the X, formerly Twitter, from the Wall Street Journal, you meet the paywall, right? Well, the free press, which does have a paywall, is free this week. So in the aftermath of Barry Weiss announcing and Paramount announcing that, you know, they were purchasing the Free Press and that she's being named to this position in the CBS News organization, they're making everything free at the Free Press this week. And this story is up there right now. Now, I'll be careful here because my whole family is Catholic. I'm Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, my mom and I, but my family, my dad, my sisters, my late brother were all Catholic, and much of my family is Catholic. Now, nothing against the Catholic Church in general, people of faith, let me just say that. Maybe I do have something about the Catholic Church against them, so I'll correct that. Because what happened with the clergy sex abuse situation that went on for decades was disgusting. And in any other circumstance, it would be dozens, and if not hundreds of people behind bars for what happened. It was egregious enough that Catholic priests diddled little boys for years and the Catholic Church covered it up. But it was even worse because they moved those priests from archdiocese to archdiocese, from parish to parish in such a sickening way. I mean, it was disgusting what was going on. And if you look at the amount of money in Los Angeles alone that they've paid out to victims, and it's in the billions of dollars. So in this reporting in the Free Press, this is interesting because this is a different angle on some of the disgusting nature of what's happened in the Catholic Church relating to the child abuse scandal. So the person who writes this, Lori Cohen, says the first person to sue the Rockville Center Catholic Diocese after the passage of New York's Child Victims Act was a man named Richard Tolner. It was August of 2019. New York was one of seven states that had created a law giving sex abuse victims a limited window to bring lawsuits no matter how far in the past the abuse had taken place. Tolner, who is now 66, said that he had been raped and molested multiple times by a priest beginning when he was 15 at St. Pius Preparatory Seminary in Uniondale, New York. The priest, Monsignor Alan Plaka, was the dean of discipline at the school on Long Island where Tolner grew up. In 1977, when he was 17, he reported the rape to several authorities at the school, including the rector, but nothing happened. So a quarter century later, a Suffolk County grand jury investigates Plaka as part of an inquiry into clergy sex abuse. He was said to have abused at least two others beside Tolner. Again, nothing happened. The grand jury concluded that the diocese had protected at least 58 abusive priests. Neither the diocese nor any individual priests were indicted.
That is disgusting.
It's revolting. And that any Catholic can just overlook this is stunning to me, but many do. Plaka, who was always denied the charges, was placed on administrative leave by the church, but was eventually cleared of the charges against him by the Vatican. So Tallner says, I couldn't wait to sue. And he, you know, is given the ability to do this. He had the potential to bring millions in compensation for what he had suffered. In 2007, in a trial against Rockville Center Diocese, a jury awarded $11.4 million to a man and woman who were repeatedly raped by a youth minister as teenagers. In June of 2025, you had a New Orleans jury that awarded close to $2.4 million to a man who was sexually abused when he was 11 years old. But in this case, Tallner never got a chance to argue because in October of 2020, with a bunch of lawsuits piling up, the Rockville Center Diocese filed a voluntary petition for reorganization. And this is so devious. You know what they did? They filed for bankruptcy under Chapter 11. So the bishop, John Buray, said this decision was not made lightly. It says in a statement at the time, and perhaps that is true, but as a legal strategy, it was a no-brainer, since its primary effect was to undermine the purpose of the Child's Victims Act. Bankruptcy gives the diocese the upper hand, while the victims became creditors who will be lucky to get a fraction of what a jury might have awarded them. As of July, 41 Catholic dioceses and religious orders have used Chapter 11 filings to deal with the decades of horrific crimes committed by thousands of priests. Those filings have stopped lawsuits in their tracks, forced victims to accept pennies on the dollar. The Free Press investigation has revealed all this, to put it bluntly, long after the church looked the other way at clergy sexual abuse, which was disgusting, beyond disgusting in its own right. It has now found another way to deprive the victims of justice, the bankruptcy courts. It's outrageous, and it's a strategy, and unfortunately, it's working.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
We'll have an audio cut of the day before we wrap the show here in just a few minutes. Right now, back with us, one of our favorite pundits, former RNC spokesperson, Cassie Smedley, Kansas City native, with us this afternoon. Cassie, how are you?
Oh, Mark, I'm doing okay, but that Chiefs game last night, really hard to get motivated this morning after that.
I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, who falls on his ass twice, and he still gets up and scores a miraculous touchdown. You know, it's kind of like the opposite of last year, where the Chiefs were winning all these close games, and things are not going very well. The ironic thing is, I think that the offense was really clicking last night, and I'm going to hold out hope because Rashee Rice is coming back. They're starting to click. We've seen slow starts before, but that one hurt, unfortunately, again last night.
That was tough. I mean, the first half of the game, and I did it. It's my fault. I jinxed it. I sent to my family text Shane, hey, this is looking like the Chiefs of yore. We're putting something together here. And then you're right. The offense did well, but we had really horrible mistakes on the special teams. I mean, even Butker botched the return kick one time. Just those little mistakes.
That little things. I know.
You got to put it together.
Well,
that was heartbreaking.
Plenty of the season still to go, but yeah, that one hurt last night. But it was a crazy NFL weekend all in. It was really, really nuts. All right, let's talk. I want to start, even though you're a Kansas City native, you are out in Virginia. And I have to start, even though there's a lot of other things in the news cycle, this whole Jay Jones situation. Cassie, what am I missing here? I mean, first of all, if this was a Republican in the same circumstance, the media coverage wouldn't even be close. Not to mention, you have Democrats, even like Tim Kaine, sticking by this guy after these repulsive text messages and claims that he said some things even worse in a telephone conversation. How is he even in the mix on this Tuesday and not pulled out of this race for attorney general?
Well, first of all, because Democrats sold their souls a long time ago. So they don't feel the need to call for him to step down, to leave the race, or even just full-on condemn it. Second, we're in the middle of a shutdown around here, and the people that are the most happy about that are not just Democrats and Chuck Schumer, but Virginia Democrats. Tim Kaine, he's not getting asked about this in the halls of Congress, because when you're in a shutdown, there's no reporters allowed to just follow you around in the Capitol. It's a whole different protocol. So if you were going to find a reporter to ask the question of him and put the pressure on him, he gets to hide out because it's a shutdown. So I think that's part of it. The other thing I'm concerned about is we've already started early voting here in Virginia before this came out. And there were record numbers of early votes already cast. But I'm going to give you the silver lining. I just came up on my 1-year anniversary of moving to Northern Virginia from D.C. So that was a win. And just today, I put my yard signs out, and two houses on either side of me also put their pro-Republican yard signs out. And the gal who was helping us get the yard sign, she said, that's two new houses on our street than we've had before. So I do think, I don't know that we're going to turn Fairfax County, Virginia red. Of course not. I'm not naive. But I will say that even just putting yard signs out, that people are feeling emboldened to say, this is wrong. And if you've got a sign in your yard for Jay Jones, you need to feel bad about that. You need to think twice about that. And I know we always joke that yard signs are not indicative of how the election is going to go, but it at least has given something for Republicans to be out and loud about in a way that we really didn't have prior to this moment of reckoning.
I don't know how anyone could see the facts here in the text message exchange where the guy who wants to be the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Virginia is basically talking about, you know, a political opponent's child's dying so they would have more of a reflection and impact on what gun violence really means. I mean, it's disgusting. It should be automatically disqualifying. I'm really, you know, sitting here from afar in the flyover states, I'm shocked that this has not resulted in him pulling from this race and the Democrats are sticking by him. But this governor's race is really what it's all about. So I want you to explain. I love Winsome Sears, had her on the air when she wrote her book. I'm a fan of Glenn Youngkin as well. But Spanberger seemingly has a pretty big lead here in the polls. So do you think there's time for Winsome Sears to kind of close the gap here in the next month?
Certainly there's time. The things are trending in her direction, and it is getting closer. And not just for her, but for the whole ticket. Because remember, in Virginia, I mean, there's a real opportunity for Jason Meares to win the day if Jay Jones loses. And so Winsome Sears pulling better, pulling closer helps everybody, of course. And of course, we want her to be successful. One thing that she's done really well, not dissimilar to what Glenn Youngkin did really well, is really honing in on the nonsense happening in Fairfax and Loudoun counties. These are the Northern Virginia counties just outside of the Beltway. And they are, frankly, the epicenter for craziness.
They really are.
Boys and girls bathrooms with all the transgender nonsense on elementary school kids. There was a recent story in Fairfax County that they helped a girl get an abortion without her parents' knowledge in the school. The school did this for the girl. This is really crazy stuff that is making normies, you know, just not necessarily independents, but people who wouldn't consider ourselves that politically involved, but we just want to know that our kids are going to go to school and be safe and not go through all this nonsense, that are making them tune in and pay attention. So I think that's a good thing. And Abigail Spanberger has had no good answer on the issue, which is actually wild. But one thing I will say is she has cultivated this reputation for herself of being a moderate. Her voting does not align with that. She's as radical as they come, left of AOC in some cases. And her positions on the transgender in boys and girls bathrooms also backs that up. But I do think that she's got a lot of years in there as a career politician.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, I'm CIA, I'm military, I'm a moderate. And that's what people are on. But the more people learn about her, the more people see the nonsense happening in the party with Jay Jones as well and her not having a good answer for it, the closer this race
becomes.
Yeah,
there's time to close the gap. Should be an interesting 4 weeks. Cassie Smedley back with us this afternoon. So you're obviously, as you indicated, you're in a different part of the country than I am, where we have some people, I'm sure, here in the St. Louis area that are affected by the shutdown. But what's your perspective on that and maybe how, you know, this all resolves itself at this point? It doesn't seem to me, I've said here the last few days, that the Democrats have a lot of leverage. I've heard also some reporting that the Trump administration says, look, we're open to negotiate on some of these health care subsidies, but we have to get this CR passed. There's a lot of politics going on here with this. Senator Kennedy yesterday said, probably one more week. What's your gut check here on this shutdown?
Yeah, I heard something interesting, that there is a big protest coming to D.C. on October 15th that is being run by or organized by the far left flank of the party, the AOC wing of the party, and that some are speculating that Chuck Schumer has to stay strong. He can't fold, as the case might be, you know, to just do his job. He can't fold until after that protest, or else he really will never survive it. That would be absolute chaos for him. So that's a date that I've got circled on my calendar. I just wonder. Which is horrible. It's costing us $400 million a day to have this shutdown. And he is playing just pure selfish politics with it because it's not helping anybody in his caucus. I was having a conversation with a friend earlier about Mitch McConnell. Say what you will about him, but as a leader, he always said, you rank and file, you go and do what you need to do to do right by your constituents, and I'll man the fort here. And he would take it on the chin often because of that. Chuck Schumer, this is all about Chuck. This is all about his political pride. And he has painted himself into a corner because he's put his rank and file in a perilous political position by causing this, enforcing this shutdown. But on the other hand, if he, quote unquote, gives in, then he's assured himself, which seems like it's going to happen anyway, but he is definitely assured that AOC is coming into this race and very likely going to be the next senator from New York. That's all that this is about. Everything else they're claiming it is about is a pin thin argument.
Yeah.
That makes no sense and is costing us so much money.
Well, even, you know, I know that you retweeted something about the Washington Post editorial on Sunday. I didn't get to this yesterday, but there was one part of it, and I know this was highlighted in one of the tweets. And if you go to that editorial, one of the things they said about Obamacare is the real problem is that the Affordable Care Act was never actually affordable. I can't tell you the amount of times that I had this debate with former Senator Claire McCaskill, who used to be kind of a normie. I thought she was a normie, but she is batshit you know what right now on the national level. I have to bleep myself for that one. But I would tell, look, the goal, that's what she would tell me over and over again, the goal is to get the premiums down. Well, the premiums never came down. It did the opposite.
Right.
So the whole intention of that really was flawed to begin with. I understand that there are people taking advantage of the subsidies, and sometimes I don't know how you'd blame them if they're looking at the financial picture. You have an employer, you know, offered insurance plan that's more expensive. You get a pretty good deal on the ACA market. So, you know, we'll see where this takes them with their argument, but they clearly feel like this is something, the healthcare issue, and they might not be wrong, Cassie, that that plays well with the constituents heading into a midterm year.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It is a poll-tested argument, but the problem is, and Speaker Johnson has been making this argument very well, is that that's an issue. Resolving the issue with the subsidies is we don't have to do that till the end of the year, not the fiscal year, the end of the calendar year. So you don't need to shut down the government over that. But the editorial you're referring to in the Washington Post had that clear line that said, the problem with all of this is that as it turns out, the Affordable Care Act was not affordable. And if that doesn't make you want to bang your head against the wall, because you might remember another shutdown in 2013. I was working for Sean Duffy at the time, and it was all banked on that. Republicans got blamed mightily for that shutdown, but it was our last chance to stop Obamacare before it was too late, before it was so ingrained in our government, which is what they did. The smartest thing they ever did on Obamacare for themselves politically, Democrats, of course, I mean, is that they made it really hard to undo. I often say it's like a game of Jenga wrapped in laser beams with spider webs, and you can't touch any of them or else it'll undo a whole bunch of other things unintentionally. That's what they did. And the consequence of that, to your point, is people who took advantage of it and said, okay, I'll accept less access to care or lower option, fewer options, but ultimately it's costing me less each month in my premium, are now going to be in a world of hurt if those subsidies aren't subsidized further by the taxpayer.
Right, right.
And that's not fair either.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I don't know how this kind of works its way out, but hopefully they can get it done here in the next week and then move forward, because this doesn't help anyone right. with the shutdown. And I ran out of time, but how about this story yesterday? It kind of broke late in my show with Senator Hawley being involved here and other Republicans being specifically targeted by the former Justice mm-hmm. Department and Jack Smith. That's another one of those stories that should probably get a little bit more play in the legacy media. And we haven't even talked about Barry Weiss. You got to have some thoughts about that right quickly in CBS News. That's huge, isn't it, Cassie?
It is. What an interesting thing. I do love the Free Press and I love Barry, not because I agree with her all the time, but because I don't agree with her and she makes me think. And I love that about it. I think it's a big get for CBS Paramount. I just feel like the rank and file of CBS is never going to let her be successful. Gayle King, never going to let her be successful. So she's got a tough job ahead. And I really hope she's well supported by the C-suite at Paramount,
yeah.
who will get rid of these people who have been bringing them down. But that's interesting, going back to traditional media.
I think my hopes are a little mm-hmm. too high, but, you know, I'll keep hoping for hope here. Cassie Smedley, always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Sue, as you know, it is happy birthday to us here this month at 97.1 FM Talk. It's the 25th anniversary of this radio station. We're going to celebrate on Thursday, October 23rd. It's coming up very quickly at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. There is indoor and outdoor seating. I think we'll probably be doing the show from outdoors.
I hope so.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate. So we'll start the broadcast, as we often do, at 3 p.m. Not often, actually. The show starts that time every day, doesn't it? And then around 5 o'clock, I think we'll be hijacked for some things that are specific to the party. The party starts at 5. We have VIP tickets available, and they're just $30. That seems really inexpensive, $30.
Totally.
But if you'd like to be a VIP party goer, you'll get two drinks, a cigar cutter, and appetizer. So you do get something for paying for the VIP. If you're going to do GA, we just need to know that you're coming. We need to know numbers. So there's an RSVP link on our website, 971talk.com/events. We'd love to thank our sponsors. They make this happen. Rhino Shield, U.S. Men's Medical Center, Lore Wine and Spirits, Old Dominic Distillery, and Rayburn Wines. So this is coming up in just a couple of weeks on the 23rd. Get registered. Get out there. 2 weeks from this Thursday, we'll have a big birthday celebration. Right now, time for Audio Cut of the Day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the Audio Cut of the Day.
Allow me to juxtapose for a moment here this afternoon. Elizabeth Warren, or as some folks like to call her, including me, Pocahontas.
This is just not working. The Republicans would rather shut down government than help Americans afford their health care.
I mean, that's just a lie, but that's their talking point. Well, look, they act like this CR has something to do with the Obamacare subsidies that were always temporary. They were passed during COVID, and then they were passed again in a temporary fashion. They expire in December. Has nothing to do with the CR. This is exactly what they voted on in the spring, but they think that they have a political moment here with the health care issue, which does poll for the Democrats better than the Republicans. But here is Senator Schmidt sort of setting things straight.
Do you think this Justice Department is acting politically by going after President Trump's enemies, James Comey, Senator Schiff?
I'm glad you asked the question. Let me make a clear distinction.
the weaponization we saw under Joe Biden, okay, that is the weaponization of government. The idea that you would hold people accountable who weaponized the Justice Department is not the same thing. So I hope we'll make that clear. I'm going to say that 1,000 times. This is not the same thing. By the way, if President Trump wanted to do that, he would have done that in his first term against Hillary Clinton and all the people that came at him then. That didn't happen. So this Justice Department is abiding by every single court ruling, and they're trying to clean up a mess that, again, was the most dramatic example of corruption you could ever have in the Department of Justice.
I did intend for that to be audio cut of the day. I did not intend to pair it with Elizabeth Warren because I got a little confused there. The host does get confused.
That's
she was
okay.
talking about the shutdown. He was talking about the weaponization of the Justice Department, the way it's being compared. Hey, you know, Trump's doing the same thing that Biden's doing. And obviously this comes in the aftermath of what happened yesterday with the revelation that there were several members of the United States Senate, including Josh Hawley, that were tracked by Jack Smith, the special counsel. I do want to make it clear that in some of the sound bites, and I hope that Senator Hawley will correct this, he refers to it as wiretapping. There was no tapping. They weren't looking at text messages or listening to phone calls. They were just looking at what numbers were sending to other numbers and where those numbers were. It was still nefarious, but it wasn't wiretapped.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.